Hey, what it do, sports fans? Welcome to the Sports Live podcast brought to you by Multimedia Live. I'm Sboom Jikeliso, your host, and I will be joined by various guests on this exciting new podcast to discuss the latest ins and outs of the sporting world. Yet again, it's been a mad week in the world of sport. First of all, we have to send condolences to the family of 1995 World Cup winning Springbok wing Chester Williams, who died suddenly of a heart attack last week. The sporting world in its entirety was shocked by the news, and we wish his wife, his children, and his friends a lot of strength in this trying time. Chester's funeral service will be held at Newlands this Saturday, the 14th of September. Staying with rugby, the Springboks beat Japan last Friday 41-7 to wash away the shame of Brighton from the 2015 Rugby World Cup. Rassie Erasmus's charges were helped largely by a Makazole Mapimpi hat-trick, which was poignant in that it came on the same day that we lost the great number 11, Chester Williams. Williams scored a hat-trick, of course, against Samoa in the 1995 Rugby World Cup, and we hope that Mapimpi will emulate him once the Japan showpiece begins on the 20th of this month. And your boy will be in Japan for Box versus All Blacks. Yep, I will be there for the Rugby World Cup the first week. I will be at the Springboks versus New Zealand game in Yokohama, 21st of September. Right there in the action. Follow my hashtag, Spoo Specials, for all the content I'll be producing from there. It's going to be epic. And I'll be doing, obviously, a Sports Live episode from Japan, which is unbelievable, guys. Unbelievable. Will be my first World Cup. And look, I've had to scratch some eyeballs to get there. But we won't get into that. Let's get into some cricket, rather. Australia have sewn up the ashes after beating England in the fourth test in Manchester by 185 runs, thanks to a stellar batting performance by Steve Smith once again. He got 211 in the first innings and 82 in the second. In the bowling category, Pat Cummings and Josh Hazlewood were immense. England certainly had no answers to those two seam bowlers. But of course, for full content on these and other stories, you know what to do. Visit Times Live, Sowetan Live, and BD Live to satisfy your insatiable sporting appetite. And right now, let's get on to the special part of this episode. Woo! I'm so excited.
Tune in to Cargumentative every Monday morning on Times Live Motoring. You can join myself, Thomas Faulkner, and my regular gang of automotive misfits as we discuss motoring news, views, and of course have a cargument or two. That's Cargumentative, only on Times Live Motoring.
To advertise on the Sports Live podcast, email us at smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za. Now, I can't wait till I say this is the Sports Live podcast brought to you by, this is your name, your entity, your brand, right after the Sports Live podcast. That's smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za. Smith S, S-M-I-T-H-S at T-I-S-O-B-L-A-C-K-S-T-A-R.co.za. And now to my special guests. They are two of the most trusted football voices in the country, and they are here to grace the Sports Live podcast for the first time. I am talking about Tiani Umfowa Kwamabasa and Usihle Ndebele Umfowa KZN Fondini. Tiani was a deputy sports ed at Sowetan, while Usihle was one of the main football writers for Sowetan. So it's a Sowetan takeover on the podcast today. Gentlemen, let's talk football. What was going on with the international window for Bafana Bafana?
Yeah, well, you know, this xenophobic attacks, whatever they call it, you know, it set the country back in many, many ways.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
People think football is in some sort of isolated sport, you know, it doesn't affect the masses out there. But the reality is that football is for people, you know, And you know, in that way, then you find yourself in a situation where other countries don't want to get involved when you say, come, let's play friendlies, because they are reacting to what you're doing in the country, you know. It doesn't help that there's so much fake news about it as well. All videos, you know, popping up on social media. You know, you just wish that we can actually move past this, because we are all Africans, you know. We can put ourselves in a situation where when we say we're playing a friendly against Nigeria, shouldn't be a problem, you know. But at this stage, you know, we sort of dug a hole for ourselves, you know. So we have to get ourselves out of there, treat each other as brothers and sisters. And then, you know, when it comes to friendly games, it shouldn't be a problem. But I think it teaches us a lot in terms of humankind. It teaches us a lot about how to treat the next person, you know. So as much as it happened, I think it's necessary for those countries to pull out, because then it drives some point home to say, you know, you can't isolate sport, you know. It brings people together. And even the late Nelson Mandela used to say that, you know, and people, I think, have to take that to heart and make sure that they treat them, you know, other fellow Africans or just like anybody, any person in general, with respect.
Yeah. So I saw in social media that people were even having AKA for the banter that he had with, you know, the Nigerian team, talking about how, you know, hate losing to Nigeria. And that's just a sporting reference. I thought, you know, we are a rival with Nigeria. And I don't think those things need to be taken out of context. Of course, you hate losing to a main competitive rival like Nigeria, but it was a sporting sense. But do you feel like, because of the tensions that exist at the moment, you know, it's even hard to have that football banter now on social media?
I think that thing with AK was taken way out of proportion, but the sensitivity of the matter, I think it was a lesson for him to not talk about such issues at such point, because people are, you can't tell people to control what's happening in the country, but as celebrities, they must know that these things are sensitive.
Yeah. And like just the whole social media uproar, Sihle, is, you know, we live in that era now where like social media determines everything we do, you know. It's spread. I don't think the attacks were as bad, but they're also not to be dismissed. Do you know what I mean? But because of social media, you had celebrities coming out, and rightly so, condemning the xenophobic attacks. But now, do you think it was wise for Bafana and Safa not to push the issue and maybe force maybe a third possible fixture after Zambia got cancelled and after Madagascar got cancelled? Do you think it was right for the safety of Bafana players to just take this L and just say, okay guys, you know, let's just stay at home for this one?
I think they'll have liked to have a game, but because of time, I think there was no time to organize a third friendly, because if you remember, Zambia pulled out 3 days before the kickoff, and Madagascar 1 day before kickoff, and there was no time to scramble around again. Friendly.
Our Mona, they could have found an empty seat.
But not a national team. Especially with the African nations showing that they are not wanting to play against Bafana after those attacks.
It's crazy, actually. But I guess, do you think they justified, Tien?
Yeah, you know, you mean the countries in pulling out, you know, I think they justified, you know. We can't allow such things to happen, you know. What we need is a system that works for us. I think for me personally, I don't think a government is in control in terms of the borders, you know. You end up with people who are not supposed to be here. And with all due respect to the foreigners, I mean, I don't have a problem with them. But the thing is, if you are here in this country, you must be registered in this country. Now you have situations where other people come from wherever they come from, they commit crime and then get out of the country. And then you end up with situations where there are certain crimes that were never solved because, you know, the people cannot be traced. You know, just like any other country. If I were to move to Nigeria, for example, it means then I must be registered in that country.
Mm, mm.
So I don't do things in that country and get out and then nobody ever finds me. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So as much as, you know, European countries, or, you know, they have a firm control over this, and we have to learn from them, you know. Otherwise, we'll end up with situations like this where, you know, people feel they have to, you know, gain control of their own space because somebody else has come, and, you know, those kind of things. So we have to be very, very careful, you know. We can talk about people, that they don't like foreigners or anything like that and so on and so on. But at the end of the day, you know, if you have a certain perception that a certain group is here and they're dealing in drugs, for example, people will always react like that. But if you have a system in place that works, you know, you do such things and you end up in jail, people are never going to have a problem with anybody else.
Now, what this has meant is Mule Finseki is off to probably, I don't know what's the worst start. I think he would have rather played a game and lost than not have played at all, you know.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I have to ask the both of you this.
Mm.
When the news came that Safa is, they're putting their lot in with Mule Finseki, whose background is pretty much development-based.
Yeah.
Coach under 17s, assisted. His only PSL job was assistant coach at Bloemfontein Celtic. He assisted Sheikhs Mashaba and Stuart Baxter at Bafana. So he's got a good background working with youngsters, co-founded the Virginia Sports Academy, which has done well in things like the Engine Knockout Challenge.
Yeah.
Boteboho Mokoena and Sipho Mbule are from there. You know, a very good academy in the Free State. But there's a lot of, this is a big but, there's a lot of a lot of people like holding their feelings about, you know, is he actually going to produce what we want from Bafana?
I think firstly, they hired him because they can't afford the other coaches.
Plain and simple.
They have to be honest with themselves, you know.
Yeah.
You remember, you know, there's one thing, Bo, we do wrong in this country. You bring in a foreign coach, you're going to pay him R1 million a month. You know, even the president of this country doesn't earn that money. You know, even the big CEOs of this country and in some companies, they don't earn that money. But when you can bring him, and then that coach earns R1 million a month. That's why even when Carlos Alberto Parra came from Brazil, when he left, they even had a cartoon showing Santana that go collect your bag as well. Because this is about making money out of us, you know. Now, when it's a local coach, you're going to pay him peanuts, you know.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Mule Finseki,
yeah,
I think he's on peanuts. For me, I don't see it any other way. Safa broke and they don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
And then now you have to hire a coach that you're going to pay as much as Stuart Baxter. Apparently, Stuart was on 980,000.
Sure.
So now, if you get a European coach, you're going to pay that money. And you know very well that you financially in the red. You know, what's the next best option for you? So I'm sorry, but it seems to me like a cheap option, you know, that it's a local coach. And I'm not even getting into his coaching credentials, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but we have to deal with the issue at hand.
Mm.
They know why they hired him, you know. And in my view, they hired him because they knew they don't have to pay as much as they paid Stuart Baxter. And having said that, when you look at his background, and I've had, you know, good conversations with Mule Finseki. And, you know, even if you were to react in an angry manner towards me, but the reality is, my honest opinion about him is that he doesn't have the experience to be on that seat, in my honest opinion. You know, people can say whatever they want, but if you look at the background itself, you know, we have so many coaches that haven't been given a chance and they've proven themselves at the highest level.
I want Sihle to also chime in as well before I hit you with the follow-ups.
Much as Safa are not accepting that he's a cheap option, but I think it's clear that they decided to hire him to save cost because you see that he's a local coach, not that much experienced. So for sure they are not paying him well enough compared to some guy from Europe who would come and pocket a lot of money.
Yeah.
I have to agree with my colleague here that he's a very cheap option.
very cheap option.
Yeah.
Just to save costs.
That's reality, right? Mm. That's reality.
Like, they couldn't take a plan together. I understand when financial constraints are, you know, you have to tighten your belts and they're holding you back.
Yeah.
But they couldn't take a punt on maybe like someone who's going to, at the very least, come with the kind of vibrancy that is required. You know, there's no problem in saying that no, we are, this is our budget,
yeah,
and this is what we can afford within that budget.
Then,
but within those constraints, you know, coaches will always take a particular job because it's been a dream of theirs.
For instance,
Mulifi Nseku would never say no to this job.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the end of the day, he would have coached the national team, whether he gets a 50% cut or gets a third of what Baxter was getting. He would never have said no to this job. No,
absolutely.
But
absolutely,
they couldn't then have taken a chance on someone that will at least get the country excited. I know a lot of people were saying Benny McCarthy, but Benny wouldn't leave a great situation that he's got, I don't think, in Cape Town, at Cape Town City. But you've got Dan Dance, like a good coach's coach, you know?
Yeah.
Dan Dance, Malisela, you know? We've seen the kind of football that he plays, that his teams play. You saw the fearless, his TX Galaxy team, but we saw it with Chipa as well, you know? Guy who's actually been in the mills of coaching. You know, they couldn't get someone, and maybe there are other names that you guys might come up with that aren't exactly, you know, your superstar Hollywood types like your Musimane or Hunt.
Even the superstars, they are those that could actually jump at the opportunity. For example, Gavin Hunt at Gilles Vets, you know, because for one, Gavin Hunt and Vets at the moment, it's not a pretty situation.
Okay.
That's why Jose Ferreira left as CEO. Because they've spoken a lot about budget cuts and so on and so on. So in that sense, it's not a good situation for him. So it's easier maybe to pull him away from there. You know what I'm saying? And sure, you're not going to pay him R1 million, but he's definitely not on R500,000 at Vets. And he'll gladly walk away for around that figure. You know, to go to Bafana. He's been waiting for this chance for a long, long time. For me, it's some sort of slap on the face for coaches that have been around the block, you know. That's why I said, to Mulefi, you know, with all due respect, but there are those that have been around the block that could have taken the job.
So you think it's not a job nobody wants, Bafana job?
No, some people want that job very badly. Like Hunt, I think Hunt was interested to maybe escape from those situations at Vets, like my colleague has just said. But for Dan, I don't think he's that experienced to coach Bafana. I hear you say that he's playing a beautiful brand of football, but I think he's more or less at the same level as Ntsiki. I know that he won that that cup, Nedbank Cup,
King
Chiefs, but I don't think he's there yet.
Agree with Sihle. With Sihle, because if you look at Dan Dance, you have a situation where if you check his track record, he's not really been at a club where there's that sort of pressure, you know?
Right.
Maybe at Chipa, where you have the boss who's constantly on your back, you feel a little bit of it, but they don't have the fans, you know, who are going to bang on your door every day, you know. So I agree with Sihle in that sense. So, but having said that, I think there are quite a lot of them who gladly say, you know what, I've done enough at club level, even if they're not paying me the best money, but at least I'm in a situation where I'm actually moving a step higher.
I said, in terms of profile,
you know,
of the
things
job,
like that.
Yeah.
So people can sacrifice in some way to get there, you know. Like, say, maybe, say for argument's sake, Gavin is on 200k a month at Vets. Even if you say to him, we'll give you 300k to move to Bafana, he'll take that job, because it's not just about the money for him anymore. It's about saying, I've been a coach in the PSL for over two decades.
Four leagues now.
I've won four leagues. I've won cups. What is there for him to prove?
There's nothing left for him.
I don't think it's that exciting for him anymore. Clubs. You know what I'm saying?
Historically, the first one to bring a title to SuperSport, first one to bring a title to Vets.
Yes.
So he's certified his legacy as one of the best PSL coaches.
Yeah, he'll be more receptive to it, to take that opportunity. But you know what I think about these guys at SAFA? It's what Peter said about them the other day, that I think he mentioned some words and he apologized later.
That's what
but,
he does.
But he apologized because they're going to sue him.
Oh.
You know?
Sure.
I think
what
so.
What did he say?
Yeah.
Yeah, those things of calling these guys priests and stuff like that.
Oh, priest and taxi driver.
You know what it says, if we are honest?
Or a chief, we said the traditional chief and the taxi driver. Yeah, I saw those.
If we are honest, they don't know their football, those people.
Yeah.
If we are honest, they don't know their football, those guys. That's why I'll tell you one thing to show that the guys that have been there, they just don't know their football. I'll give you one example and think about it. When Joel Santana was recommended to SAFA by Carlos Alberto Parreira to replace him, you know, when you look at this CV, Joel Santana, if I were at SAFA, I would have questioned one thing. That yes, you're bringing a coach who's coached for 30 years. He's got the experience. You bring a coach who's coached about 30 clubs in that period. Some of them different stints and so on and so on.
Yeah.
Like Flamengo, I think he was there 4 or 5 times. That's a red flag. That's a red flag.
First,
and secondly, and most importantly, he had never coached the national team.
Why, if he's so accomplished, why didn't Brazil give him their under 20s?
Exactly, you know,
or
he
their
had
under
never
23s.
Coached the national team. That's why when he went back to Brazil, he became a comedian.
it's shocking, actually. Yeah, he's an 80s comedian. He's not gonna get a Netflix special.
So what does that
tell
you?
I think I'd feel better if he got a Netflix special. We say, okay, you know, at least this guy, can, you know, hold a mic, get on stage, you know, make us laugh.
But you know what it is? It's about, and I'm sorry to mention this, it's about our past, where we come from. You know, a white person, we don't have to question anything.
I think that's true. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
If he comes,
there is an inferiority complex.
Yeah, he's coached that sort of thing. Not in a bad way.
I fully understand it. Yeah.
If he comes, Santana has coached for 30 years. This guy's experienced, man. You know, then we'll take him blink of an eye. You know what I'm saying? But when it's a black guy and he comes and all that.
No, we scrutinize. He hasn't done this.
You didn't question it. Even with Parreira.
Parreira, I thought Parreira had been out of the game way
for
too
a long time, ne?
Way too long.
But also, Parreira, the only time he got out of the first round of the World Cup was with Brazil.
So when
they won the World Cup in 1994. Do you know that in Brazil they never celebrated that cup?
Really?
You know why?
Why?
Because they said Parreira played defensive football. That's not them.
So they didn't even like the way they won that World Cup. They would rather the 98 one that fell in the final.
They would rather celebrate that team, and they said they gave their best. They played our football. And everything.
Their identity.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Parreira had been to 4 other countries without wasting any time.
Saudi Arabia.
All those countries. And fun enough, some of them were hosts. And they never got out of the first round. And why the hell did we think he was going to get out of the first round?
This guy destroyed us.
Because
I remember Santana's team in the against, was it... who were we playing in the first game?
So we played
of the Confed Cup.
We played Spain. We played New Zealand.
Iraq.
Yeah.
And we drew 1-1. He played 3 central defensive mids. I think it was Macbeth. Dekhachi, and I think Aaron Mokoena was sitting
more,
as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Bruh, at home against Iraq.
What are you defending?
Three defensive men.
It's not like you had some war with Iraq.
My guy.
You know?
My guy, it's at home. You wanna?
Yeah.
We had Kilan Pila at his best. We got all these guys that are...
But you know, to give Sihle a chance as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But you see, the thing with us... There's a reason why foreign coaches never won the World Cup. There's a very good reason.
Yeah.
Because you're coached by someone local who understands your football in and out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Your culture.
Yeah. And if you have a foreign coach, they come. Parreira wanted us to play like Brazil with Anele and the left-back was Tsepo.
Masilela,
yeah.
He want those guys to be Cafu and Roberto Carlos.
No chance, bro.
There's no chance. If maybe to assist Omtaung, they late, and then David Nyati.
Yeah.
They have that stamina.
Yeah.
They could turn that around. They could actually play like that.
Different generation.
Why would we play like Brazil when we're not Brazil?
We don't have the players. Like,
exactly.
I had the same problem with Niskins at Sundowns. A huge problem. Because you wanted Sundowns to play. Sundowns can pass the ball, right?
Yeah.
But they have to slow the game down. They have to wear down the opposition.
Exactly.
They can't do that at fast pace with one-touch football.
Yeah. Mm.
He wanted that, and he didn't have the players to do it.
Exactly.
If you've got the players, by all means, you can bring your Rolls Royce football, but if you don't have anyone to drive it, you know, you're going to crash into a wall. I want us to switch a bit to local PSL now. We've seen... that the Chiefs are sitting pretty at the top of the Premier Soccer League log, the Absa Premiership, or should I say.
Yeah.
And they're on 10 points. They're unbeaten in 4 games with 3 wins. Should we read too much, or are we reading too much into this new season here, KZ Chiefs? And Ernst Middendorp, now that Stuart Baxter is lurking in the shadows, is he safe for now in terms of job security?
I think he's safe. They've had a good start to the season, but I think one big factor that has helped them is the return of their injured players from last season. Manyama, those guys, and Kune is nearing his comeback as well. I think Ernest is very much safe to keep his job, and I think they'll challenge for the league.
Do you think so?
I'm not saying they're gonna win it, but I think they'll challenge, considering the fact that Pirates have started not that well. Sundowns are competing in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Vets, their situations at Vets.
There's some issues there.
I agree 100% with Sihle. They'll challenge Chiefs.
Supersport?
If they don't suffer the injuries.
Yeah.
You know?
They must play.
The problem is
Vets.
they don't have the squad, like the depth, you know? Because if one player is out, then it's a problem.
It's a big problem.
Yeah.
You see, if a player is out at Sundowns, it's nothing. You know, even at Pirates, it's nothing. You know, that's why those two teams have been fighting it out for the last 2 seasons.
Yeah.
So, if Chiefs survive this until at least the next transfer window, where they can actually beef up again, with a couple more players, I think they'll challenge.
No, without catastrophic injuries. And this boy, Manyama, man. Ish.
Yeah.
Manyama, bro. And he's had a lot of flack that he doesn't do it at a big team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is the season where he really shows what a quality player he is?
If he stays injury free, I think he can deliver.
You think he'll dominate like he did when he was at City?
He must just pray that he stays injury free.
That's it.
That's key.
It. Yeah.
That's key.
Because, hey, that boy is quality.
Yeah, because he started well.
Yeah.
So the confidence is there.
Yeah.
The last thing you want now is some injury that keeps sidelines you for like a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you are away. Then when you come back, you're not even sure, you know. So it
may
disrupt this season that way.
Mm.
So hopefully he stays injured for like in the 2016-2017 season when it was PSL Football of the Season.
Yeah.
And I agree with Sihle. He's going to have a major impact. Even when we did a feature on Chiefs in Sowetan, and we said this is how they can challenge for it. We mentioned him as one of the players who will be key, because we know his qualities. We know what he can do for Chiefs, not only assists but goals as well, and that's very key for them.
Yeah. All right. Just before we wrap it up, Sundowns. Brocky has gone on loan to Maritzburg United. And they've brought in TK Ranti, or Rantia. I don't know what it is these days. But I'm seeing photos. Ish, around the belt, it's not looking good. Eh? Do you think he's? Do you think it's a great signing by Sundowns? Maybe "great" is too big a word. Do you think it's a good signing, or a necessary signing?
I think his quality, we know his qualities, but I have a problem with his off-field issues. If he can put that beyond him,
yeah,
I think he can do well. But I've seen those pictures. He's not looking fit.
but you can
with time, I think he will, because he knows that he has been given chances before.
Yeah,
he can manage to ruin this chance again, because you remember what happened at Cape Town City.
Yeah,
intake. Yeah. Same thing. I think it's more or less his last chance.
Yeah, yes.
To show that he's
this is it for Andy. Yeah. He has to prove it now.
And whoever has bewitched him must just have mercy on him. Like, honestly, because you know,
our guys, you can't go down.
You can't be a professional player and have a stomach like that.
No chance. No. Yeah. So his belt line looks like mine, bro.
you know, even. This guy, Andile Jal, when he was overseas. Sometimes I'm like, this is one of my favorite players.
But and at his peak, he'll be the first Jali.
He's unplayable.
Unplayable.
Did you see Madisha?
Madisha.
Come on, guys.
That's why the assistant at Pirates, Roland
Nguyen,
was saying, you know, he reacted to a picture of him as well. You know, it's not only about Rantier. It's not only about Jali or Madisha. Whoever looks like that in the PSL,
you've got no business.
Should pack up and go home.
Yeah.
you know, if you are a true professional,
you
just have to look at Siyabonga Nomvet.
Ah, Bele.
Yeah.
They wouldn't touch a drop of liquor.
I still even feel that he was pushed to retirement.
You think so?
Yeah. That guy was still, for me, could still do the job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm.
But, you know, people look at age in this country. But you have a 28-year-old who can run.
Huffing and puffing.
alongside the ballet, you know. But yet you're pushing him to retire. So we have to be careful around those issues.
Right, guys. We'll have to wrap up this conversation. Hopefully we'll catch up again soon. It's a long PSL season, gents. Yeah. And it's going to be one of those where I think it's going to go down to the wire again like it was last season. And before we wrap up, obviously our tradition is to have the upset and playmaker of the week. The upset of the week in sports this week, it has to go to Bianca Andreescu, who beat Serena Williams in the US Open Final, unless I hear any objections.
No objections.
No objections. Yeah. Okay, I'll throw this one to Sihle to see if he can determine for us the playmaker of the week. His options are Steve Smith making 211 from 318 balls to help Australia beat England in the fourth Ashes test in Manchester. Obviously, Australia won the Ashes as a result. And Rafael Nadal beating Daniil Medvedev in 5 sets to win the US Open and his 19th Grand Slam title overall. Not forgetting Harry Kane scoring a hat-trick for England against Bulgaria in a 4-0 victory. Sihle, take it away.
I'll go with Harry Kane. He's been consistent.
Doing it for
Spurs, doing it for England. And he's just came back from an injury, you remember?
Yeah, not
long. Nadal just got his 19th Grand Slam. He's only one away from
Nadal. Nadal for me, you know. Nadal for me, definitely. I don't like the guy, you know. My favorite is Roger.
Yeah.
And when Nadal wins, it pains me, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
This one, 19. Yeah.
Your football bias, but still,
even with Gary Kane, this guy was injured for a long time, for some time. You know, for him to come back like and shrug that off, and still score a hat trick like that,
he's a beast.
All right, he's a beast, says Sihle Ndebele. Gentlemen, Diani and Sihle, thank you very much for joining us on the Sports Lab podcast. Great conversation. That's it from me, Sbum Jikeliso, and you've been listening to the Sports Live podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Do also catch us on timeslive.co.za, as well as Sowetan Live, Business Live. We are also on Iono FM, the Apple Podcast Store, or wherever you get your podcasts. It could be Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Pocket Cast, wherever. To connect with us, please use the hashtag SportsLive. Share your comments with us at TimesLive or at SowetanLive on Twitter. A big thank you goes out to the Multimedia Live team led by Scott Peter Smith and producer Paige Muller, as well as the TESO Black Star Digital Sports Department headed by Mninawa Mchana Ntoko. Our sound and audio mixer is Innocent Manyike. From us at the SportsLive podcast, it's goodbye for now.